Hey, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. It is so good to see all of you. Thank you for coming. I don't know if I should say this kind of stuff, honestly, but the news is something that the vast majority of the time, I don't see it until you do. So I'm not a part of that production. Our team kind of does that on their own. I just really was enjoying Pastor Anthony's shirt changing with everyone else. That was the coolest thing ever. Well done, team. Really, really proud of you guys just for your creativity and the way that you creatively bring us important things happening. You guys are awesome. I just love you, production team, and all that are involved in that. You guys are great. You guys are great. Well, welcome to you. It is awesome to see you. It's awesome to have you. I'm glad to see people in the building. Super excited to see people connecting to us online. I want to tell a story, if that's okay. Can I start with a story this morning? Last week, I was in a Zoom call, and it was me and 119 other people in this particular Zoom call. It was a lot, and it was really interactive, and they sent us into these breakout rooms and all this different kind of thing. It was really cool, and then there was like this big meeting, and we would kind of pop in and out of the big meeting and into our little groups and have smaller conversations, and then back into the big, it was just really neat. And so the reason I'm telling you this story is because on the call was one of my great, great heroes of the faith. And I mean, it was just really neat to be on, like people know his name. And it was just cool to be on a call with him. And, you know, I could just see him sitting there, like doing his thing, you know, like in a meeting, like wonder what he looks like in a meeting. Now I know. And it was just really cool for me. It was really cool for me. And I know that sounds crazy and that might sound weird, but I was like, this is really a neat moment. And although I private messaged him in the group, he did not talk back to me. but it was just neat to be there. And so the next morning, I woke up really early, and I was just thinking of that meeting, and I began to pray, and I just began to say, God, thank you so much for giving me that opportunity. It meant a lot to me to be in that meeting, and it meant a lot to me to be so close to someone that I've learned so much from, that has helped me to grow in my faith in such amazing ways, somebody that has spoken into my life remarkably more than he would ever even know. And I was just saying, God, thank you. This was my prayer. I said, God, thank you for allowing me to be that close. The interesting thing was he was two time zones away from me. We were not in the same region at all. We were not close to each other geographically, but because of this technology, I felt very, very close. And for me, it felt very special to be that close to someone that I admire so much, which is my way of saying to our online church family just how much I thank God for technology, how much I thank God for you being a part of our services, even from a distance wherever you may be. Some of you live in our city, and you're just not comfortable coming back to crowded places like our church tends to become. You are not ready for that. Some of you are watching from different states and from different countries. What I love, though, is that technology gives us the privilege to be close. So welcome those of you watching from some other destination, some other location. We truly love you, and we're glad that technology allows us to be connected this way. Would you give it up, everybody that's in the building, for those tuning in online? It's awesome. It's awesome. Very cool. Let me give one more thing. I'm going to just give a very, very special shout out to my dear friend Matt watching from Birmingham. This, my brother, is the day the Lord has made. I love you. I'm so thankful you texted me this morning. Can't wait to reconnect. Matt's a friend of mine from the Army, and he lives in Birmingham, and we were talking this morning, and he's here. He's here with us right now. So I love you, my friend. Good to see you. Yeah. And it's good to see you. It's really good to see you. And the ushers asked me if you are comfortable to sort of maybe squeeze in a little bit as we're starting to find capacity problems in our 9:30 service. Just in case people come in late, if you can identify some vacancies, that would be helpful to us. Amen. Amen. Hey, a really quick announcement before we get into the final installment of our Dangerous Prayer series. Today is the day. Today, everybody, is the day. Some of y'all woke up and it's special for you because it's your birthday or something, or your anniversary, and you're like, yes, you're right. Today is the day. Others of you woke up and it's just another day. But regardless of how you thought about today, it's a big deal. It's very special. It's very important. And I'm going to tell you why, because life groups launch today at Church on the Rock. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. We have more than 20 groups for you to choose from. I would really encourage you to go to our website, check out our groups. You should have gotten an email today that would tell you exactly how to get connected. And if you're like, hey, I didn't get no email. I haven't heard anything about life groups. I'm going to encourage you to go fill out our digital connection card. We want to reconnect you, make sure we have updated information so that we can give you all the happenings in that way. But today's the day that life groups begin. And I just want to encourage you to find one, whether you're meeting in person or you're meeting digitally. All of those things will be happening in this semester. And I just want to encourage you guys, just get connected. It's important that we are bound together by relationships. Amen, if you believe that. We were designed by God to be relational. It is true. It is true. It is true. We need each other. There's one group, though, I want to kind of talk about for a second, and then we're going to get into our message today, and that is this. So it is our heart for all of you, every single person in our church, to be connected to groups because we believe real life change happens in the context of relationships. Like, we need each other to grow. It's very biblical. I could give you multiple scriptures to reinforce that point. But there's one group that I really want to emphasize. Actually, here's my hope. My prayer is that all of you are in a group. My next prayer is that all of you at some point in your journey with Church on the Rock will attend a particular group, all of you. And this is our freedom groups. And so what I want to encourage and what I want to kind of promote today is groups that you can find them. They're active now and you can go and register yourself, but groups called Freedom in Christ. And here's why I emphasize them is because it is absolutely pivotal. And I'm going to need somebody to say amen if you believe this. We must, as followers of Christ Jesus, fully understand our identity in Christ so that we can have freedom from our past. So people want freedom. I want freedom. I'm continually finding freedom in my journey. If all the time I'm getting freed from yesterday's stuff, I'm getting freed from sin, I'm getting freed from hurts constantly, it's a process that God walks me through. But the way that I find my freedom is understanding who I am. So all kinds of people want freedom. Some people just don't know who they are. And so I just want to really, really encourage you. This particular group, like all, have limited capacity. It is a very high commitment group. So you would really be like locking into a commitment to walk through this thing. But I'm just telling you, some of you need freedom in a real bad way. And there's an opportunity for you to find it. So go check that out. My plugs are done. I just want you to know, like, we actually care about your life. Like, in the most real way. And we want to see people journey ahead with Jesus. Amen. So I'm not trying to like bait you into something for any other reason than for you. Amen, everybody? We care about you and we love you. So go check out the groups. Find your group. Yeah, give it up for groups or whatever you're clapping for. I don't know, but I like it. Awesome, awesome. Hey, let's get into our final installment of the series that we're in called Dangerous Prayers. How many of you guys have been enjoying the series? If you've been a part of it, let me hear from you. If you're online and you've been enjoying it, would you just let's put in the chat, love it. Just love it. How about that? And if you don't love it, just put the word danger. How about that? Because some of you guys are like, it's all right. It's all right. You can just throw the word danger in there. How about that? I'm excited about it. I like it. Here's the context of our series. If you're new or first time you're tuning in, don't worry. Like, you're not going to miss anything. Every single one can stand alone. We've been talking about this reality that sometimes, as followers of Christ Jesus, if we're not careful, we can drift into safe faith, small thinking, safe prayers. We can get into these places where our prayer life gets into a posture where it's really more self-centered and more driven toward us, less kingdom-focused, and less thinking about others. So, excuse me. So, for example, our prayers can sometimes sound like, bless me, help me, protect me, bless this double stack cheeseburger and french fries to the nourishment of my body in Jesus' name, right? And there is nothing wrong with those prayers. So I don't want you to hear what I'm not saying. I'm not telling you not to pray those things. God wants to bless you. God will protect you. Like, those are good things to pray, okay? So I'm not saying don't. I'm just saying let's be careful. Let's actually do an inventory on our prayer lives, and let's make sure that we're just not drifting into safety and comfort and God help me and keep me happy and keep me going. No. In fact, as Christ followers, we want to be dangerous because following Jesus was never meant to be safe. And so in our lives, as we follow and pursue the heart of Jesus, we want to pray prayers that are more dangerous, like speak to me, because God might say some things that you're like, oh, I wasn't expecting that, or send me. God, I didn't expect you to ask me to go there, right? Search my heart. Ouch. Because he's going to find something. if we pray that dangerous prayer. And so today we're going to conclude our series, but today's message is going to launch us in to what we're going to go to next. You want to get a plug for where we're headed to as a church? You want to get real fast? All right, we're going to start a series next week. It's going to start first week of September and go through the whole month. And we're going to call it Standout. Standout. And we're going to talk about what does that look like? And what does that mean? And how do I, as a Christ follower, stand out in all the right ways? That's just a small plug of where we're heading. Today's message is not only going to kind of close this series, it's going to launch us into that concept. And I want to talk to you about the dangerous prayer today that we are going to pray is this one. Are you ready for it? The prayer is, make me bold. Whoo! Of all the messages that I've done in this series so far, this one might be my favorite. I don't think it's, for personally, I've had different friends and people say, man, that was the most dangerous prayer I prayed was that particular week, that particular prayer. I want to be bold. I want you to be bold. I'm excited to get into this one. Let's start in the same verse we've started every single series or every single message in. It's a promise from God through Jeremiah. Come on, give it to me. Jeremiah 33:3, there it is. He says, this is God speaking to us, and he says, call to me, and I want you to recognize what I'm emphasizing. It's the promise from God, and I will answer you. So when we call on God, God responds to us. Isn't that good to know? Like, he's saying, hey, I'm here for you. I'm listening to you. I will answer you. And then he says, I'm going to show you great and mighty things. In fact, I'll show you things you don't even know yet, which is why this dangerous prayer series is so powerful, because when we start praying dangerously, we're probably going to find and discover and see some things that we don't know yet. Maybe there's something in our heart that got revealed that's like, I got to deal with that. Or maybe we're going to a place that we didn't know we were going to be called to yet, or whatever the case may be. God will answer. God will speak. Amen. I want to take you, though, to a story today. There's two guys in the New Testament of the Bible. We're going to go to the book of Acts, chapter 4. These two guys in the Bible, Peter and John, and they are really, really radical for Jesus. They're doing some pretty amazing things. And so they're really proclaiming hope in Jesus, which, by the way, in their time was a brand new thing. Like, Jesus had recently died on the cross, risen from the dead, walked out of the grave, ascended into heaven, and he changed everything about how people know how to connect to God. Now, these guys are passionate. They've experienced this, like some of us in this room who are Christ followers. I've experienced the life-changing power of Jesus. I have, personally. Some of you have. And those of you that are saying amen and getting excited, like, you've done it. And when you really, truly experience God in a way like that, it's motivating to communicate toward others. Well, these two guys are no exception to the rule. They're very passionate, and they are just proclaiming the gospel. They are communicating the hope of Jesus everywhere that they go, and they're starting to see God do amazing things in their lives. So what happens is they pray for a guy who had been crippled for many years, decades, in fact. He is completely healed by God, miraculously, completely healed. He gets up and he's like doing a jig. I don't know. I wasn't prepared to talk about that. God just did an amazing miracle, and it starts to get the attention of religious people. It starts to get the attention of church leaders. And they're starting to get a little worried. Come on, how many of y'all ever had some problems with religious people? My hand's up. How many of y'all ever had issues with church? My hand's up. All right. So what we start to see is this difference between religion and relationship. Religion never changed anybody's life. Jesus, however, can change everything. Amen. Amen. And we see these guys, and they have this moment, and all of a sudden, they get arrested. And they get some questions asked to them. And what the authorities want to know is, what authority do you have? Talk to us a little bit about what you got going on. They're nervous about this amazing uprising taking place through the lives of these two guys. And let's just see what happens in the story. They respond. The officials want to know, like, who's giving you this authority? Who are you proclaiming? And they say this, let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Come on, the Nazarene. Watch what they say. The man you crucified. Woo! but whom God raised from the dead. How many of you know this is bold? Bold. So these guys have been arrested. They are under the authority of the officials, and then they're like, hey, who are you talking about? Who's the authority that you have? They're kind of digging into it, and they just waste no time. It is by the power of Jesus Christ. They're bold about who they're serving, bold about what they're declaring, and then they just, no hesitation, by the way, the guy that you killed, you crucified him. You did that. And then God raised him from the dead. In other words, like, he's bigger than you. This is boldness. We'll carry on in the story. Then the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. They were like, dang, nobody's ever talked to us like that. This is crazy. For they could see that they were, everybody say the next two words, ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. This word, ordinary, in the Greek is the word idiotes. That's right, some of you already have figured it out. Idiotes, meaning simple, uneducated, of no special value. The word literally translates idiots. So here's a couple of idiots. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm resonating right now, okay? I'm like, yes, thank you, Jesus. Like, I find myself right here. A couple of simple, ordinary, uneducated idiots proclaiming boldly about Christ. So less than stellar, less than gifted, less than special people making a huge impact for the cause of Christ Jesus. Watch what they say. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Jesus. There's something very powerful that we can obviously draw from this, that God can take anybody. The most simple, the most untalented, the most ordinary, the biggest idiots. And he can use them for his glory. He can use them to do something amazing in the lives of other people. This is the God that we serve. And they're taken aback by this boldness. They are, the council. And they're like, all right, check this out. We're going to beat up on you a little bit. And then we're going to send you away. And don't you ever preach in the name of Jesus again. Don't you do it, all right? Because if you do, we're going to get you. And so they go and say, hey, let's pray about this. Let's pray. Let's go together and let's pray. I want you to watch their prayer. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us your servants great boldness, because we want to preach your word. Here's what I love. What I love is that they didn't say, dear God, protect me. Keep me safe. Bless me. Guide me. They didn't say, God, would you help us to maybe find a different audience that might be more receptive to your message? They didn't ask for anything like this. What they asked for? Boldness. Like, hey, Jesus, we're committed to the cause, no matter the cost. And so because we refuse to back down, would you just give us the boldness that we need to continue to stand for Christ in a culture that isn't the greatest fan of Christ? God, would you give us boldness? Let's just continue in the story. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were, look at it, filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me just time out for a second. Listen to me, Christ follower. Listen to me very carefully. If you follow Jesus, if you have done what the Bible says that it takes to be saved, believe in your hearts, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you get a deposit, you get a guarantee, you get something unique. You become the temple of the Holy Spirit. In other words, he takes up his residency in you, meaning he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He resides in the life of every believer. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the person of the Holy Spirit. It's not spooky. It is not weird. It is not It is the very source of power that you and I need to be successful in this life that we're living. And we see it. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit and the power of God takes its residency up in us, then they preached the word of God with boldness. Church, God's calling us to be bold. To be bold. To stand up for our faith. To be outspoken and a standout, if you will, plug for next week, a standout for the cause of Christ. Boldness. And there are so many ways that we can be bold. And so what does it look like, Josh? If you're asking me to be bold, what does that look like? Should I go to work and should I give my PowerPoint presentation and say, this is what I think our company should do? Next slide. Yes, and this is how we can be profitable. Next slide. Okay, and then there's our margins. Next slide. You all need Jesus? Like, is that what you want me to do? I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's on you. But there are ways to be bold in our faith. There's ways to stand bold for the cause of Christ. And here's what I love about our church family is that we all find ourselves on different places of this journey. Some of us have walked with God for years and years, and we know scriptures, and we know stories, and we know how to pray because we listen to other people pray, and we kind of got it down. And then there are others of us that, like, we're so brand new to this that, like, all of this is revolutionizing our minds, and we're just trying to keep up. Like, God, I want to grow in you, but there's so much to learn, and I don't know if I'm confident enough. And I just love the fact that we find ourselves on this spectrum of faith. And so for you, boldness could be very, very different. For some of you, boldness could be the simple act of dressing modestly. Like, I'll be bold enough not to parade my body as my place of acceptance, but to get my acceptance from God, I'll just cover this stuff up. I know it looks good and all that, but I'm going to cover this stuff up, and I'm going to be a bold Jesus follower. I'm going to make a difference. Some of you, boldness might look like actually praying out loud in your life group for the first time. You've never done it. Everybody always prays, and you're the one like, I want to pray out loud so bad. I want to do it, but I'm so scared. I'm nervous, and what if I don't say the right thing, and I don't even really know how to start, and I'm not really sure how to finish, and I don't know. But maybe for you, it's like, you know what? I would like to pray this. Can I pray this week? And for the first time, you just pray in front of somebody else. That's pretty bold. For some of you, it might be that moment, like when your friend sees you out in public and they know that you're a Christ follower, maybe they're not quite where you are, and they're kind of like, hey, I've been going through some stuff, and I just know, like, you're one of those Jesus people, and I don't know, but maybe you can just pray for me. It would be really awesome if you just, I'm going through this and that, maybe you can just pray about it, and instead of you saying, yeah, definitely, I'll pray, okay, all right, text me if you need anything, you just say, hey, can I pray for you right now? You, like, in the store? Yeah. Like, right here. Maybe that's boldness. Maybe it's inviting somebody to church that you felt so compelled that like, I really want to invite them to my church because I don't know if I know how to communicate Jesus to them very effectively, but I feel like my church family does a really good job of that. And maybe it's just a matter of saying, would you be willing to come with me on Sunday morning? Like, I'll pick you up or I'll buy you coffee. I don't know what it's going to look like for you, but that could be a very bold thing for you to do. Some of you, it might just be taking a stand in your social circle. That, you know, guys, I love y'all, and I know we go deep and all that, but listen, I'm not down with that. I'm going to have to say no. Appreciate the invitation. I just don't do those things anymore. I'm really trying to change. I know I'm not perfect and all that, but I'm just finding that Jesus is doing amazing things in my life, and I want to keep pursuing him. So, no thanks. Boldness can look a lot of ways. And what I want you to do is just ask the Holy Spirit of God, how would you call me to be bold? And then would you empower me to do it? Would you give me the courage and the boldness that it takes to stand for Christ Jesus? And so boldness for you can look different than it would look for your neighbor. But God is calling us all to be bold. And we learn that this can be a very dangerous prayer. Let's dig a little deeper. Let's find out, like, what happens when I'm bold. Come on, we're going to follow the story. Write this down if you're a note taker. Boldness invites spiritual opposition, everybody. When you decide, I'm going to stand for Christ Jesus, I'm going to take a stance, I'm going to be bold, whatever boldness would look like in your journey of faith, when we determine that I will be bold, I'm going to stand for Christ Jesus, can I tell you something? Expect opposition. Satan is not going to just watch you start moving for God and then just lay down. He's going to try to fight against you in every way he possibly can. I actually said this to all of the people that were baptized yesterday. I said, what you've just done is a public profession of your faith. Like all these people on the shoreline saw you go into the waves, be baptized, celebrate Jesus. We cheered. We love you. We're proud of you. Expect your enemy to come and attack you. And then I was like, oh, by the way, my name's Josh. I'm your friend. Like, I know that's not the greatest thing for someone to say, but it's truth. And what I want to do is help you. And so if I'm going to be bold for Christ, I need to be prepared to have some opposition from the enemy. Look what happens to our boys here. They are arrested, and the apostles, and they put them into jail. I'm not sure why the Bible calls it public jail. Is there like private school, public school, private jail? I don't know. I just think these things... Forgive me. I find humor in the Bible. But as soon as they step out and they get bold, they find spiritual opposition because they were warned. If you preach in the name of Jesus, we're going to take care of you. We're going to get you. Don't be doing it. We're going to beat up on you a little bit just so you know we're serious. Don't do it. Again, listen to me carefully. When we stand out in bold faith for Jesus, we should expect some spiritual opposition. Number two, boldness releases God's miracles. Woo! Like, this is good news. So I gave you some bad news. This is good news. It just releases God's miracles. I'm gonna tell you something. I believe with all my heart that when the people of God move in obedience to God, that he gets behind it. He gets excited about it. It's gonna be like that? Okay, I'm about to do some things in your life. You're gonna see me move in great power in situations. Watch what happens. But an angel of the Lord came at night. Now they're in jail. They've been arrested, put back into jail. The angel comes at night, which is a little bit comical. Again, I find humor all over the Bible. Like, why are the apostles being bold in the daylight and the angels are hiding in the dark? I don't know. I don't even know if that's appropriate. I just find it funny. Anyway. That might be the most unpastoral thing I've ever said on recording. But an angel of the Lord, probably not, came at night, opened the gates of the jail, and brought them out. Listen to me. This is what actually happened with Peter and John. This is what God wants to do in the people around your lives all the time. There are people bound in prisons. They're bound by oppression. They're bound by addiction. They're bound by fears of people. They're bound by things that they don't know how to get set free from, and they want to, and it just might be your boldness that allows the power of God to come and set the prisoner free. It might be your invitation to church. It might be your willingness to say, listen, guys, I love y'all, but I'm saying no to this one. I'm trying to change that gets the other guy to say, well, I've been wanting to change a long time. I was just too afraid. I don't even know how to try to change. Like, I don't even know where to start. It might be your boldness. It might be you being a standout, bold in your faith to pray for somebody in a public place where everybody can see it and everybody can hear it, that they say, I need Jesus. Like, I don't know what you got. I want that because it is powerful and it is meaningful. It is the boldness that we step out into. It is the boldness that God calls us into, that his miracles connect to, and people find freedom. Come on, church. Like, it's if we can get to a place, amen. If we can get to a place in our spiritual journey where it becomes less about us and more about those we have the potential to serve, then I think God says, I'm going to do some amazing things. Watch what I can do. Come on, right? Anyway, I'm thinking of Mad TV 10 years ago. Anyway, number three, sorry. Boldness requires, this is, we're going to land the plane right here. Boldness requires faith. It requires faith. When I'm bold, I'm really stepping out into some unknown. Okay, because if I say no to my friends that we run so deep and been through so much and like, I'm one of their boys, you know, I'm always part of the, like, all the stories I'm a part of, and if I say no and I take that bold step of faith, I could lose that social circle. Like, oh, you better than us? Are you better than us now? Oh, okay. Okay, little Jesus Jr., we got you. Okay. All right, you judging me? That's fine. That's fine. Now all of a sudden you're holy. Went to church a couple times. That's fine. We don't need you. We'll have fun without you. We're going to make memories without you around. Listen, boldness is faithful. Because I don't know what's going to happen when I take that bold step. I don't know if I say, hey, can I just pray for you right now? If they say, no, I'm not very comfortable with that. And then you feel more awkward. It could be weird. It's a faith step for me to step out in faith and be bold for God. It could cost you some things. It just could. You could make that invitation. Would you come to church with me? I really think you're going to like it. Like, no, nah, I don't do church. Mm-mm. Well, okay. Guess I'll keep praying for you quietly, right? It does require faith because it's risky. If we were just naturally this way, we wouldn't have to ask God this dangerous prayer, make me bold. But because it is risky, because there is some things that we're going to, some steps that, like, I don't know what I'm stepping on, it can be very difficult. Watch what happens. They're in jail. And the angel comes and he opens the doors and he sets them free. And then watch what happens. He says, go to the temple and give the people this message of life. Can I tell you what he said? Hey, you remember the thing you've been arrested for and beaten for a couple times already? Go back. Do it again. What? So at daybreak, the apostles entered the temple as they were told, and immediately began teaching. This is crazy bold. It's radically bold. Now, it would be awesome, wouldn't it, if I could say to you, because Peter and John were obedient to God's call, because they had seen miracles from God, they had fought through the opposition of the enemy, they were taking bold, faithful steps, like, because of that, hundreds of people got saved that day, and among the crowd were these two beautiful women that eventually became their wives, and they both had amazing honeymoons, and Peter went to Jamaica, and John went to the Bahamas, and they're such great friends that they came back home after their honeymoons, and they started nonprofit outreach ministries, and it was just amazing, and they built it up so successfully with a business model that was so amazing, and then in their early 50s, they sold it, and they retired early, and they raised their grandchildren in their vacation homes, and they lived happily ever after. That would be a killer end to this story. It really would. It really would, except that's not what happened at all. At all. You can't find it in the Bible, but you can find very solid historical evidence that Peter or John, do your homework, because I didn't. It was John who was boiled, he was dipped in boiling oil, which kills most people, but not John. He's that lucky. And because it didn't kill him, he then was exiled to the island of Patmos, where he would spend the rest of his life alone. Like, what? Peter would eventually make his way to Rome to go back and communicate to his people and proclaim the good news of the gospel. And history tells us that he would eventually be arrested and crucified. However, history tells us that he said, I don't have I can't do it. Like, I'm not good enough to be crucified like my Savior, and opted to be hung upside down. This is how these men died and spent the back ends of their lives. And listen to me, there's a myth, there's a real true myth in the church. And that myth is that if you start following Jesus and you're obedient to what he's saying to you and you respond to his call and you do the things that he's calling you to do, Christ follower, that he's going to just bless you and everything's going to work out for you. And I'm like trying to help you and tell you that isn't always true. Sometimes things work out really good. Sometimes we see God's miracles, and sometimes we receive unmerited favor from God. That is true. Sometimes we walk through hell, and that is true. And sometimes God calls us into some things that we're like, this is what I get for my boldness. Like, this is the reward. To which I believe our Heavenly Father would say, oh, there's so much more. And that's hard to remember when we live here and feel here and experience here. It's hard. It's hard. And there are so many times that I miss it because I'm afraid of the cost. I'm afraid of the cost. God's calling us, hey, store up treasure in heaven. There's more to this life than this life. Gosh, and if we, myself included, I am so preaching to me, I hope it's helping you. If we could get this understanding deep in our hearts, there's so much more to this life than this life. The Bible tells us that we store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. That is the goal. Not your car being paid off. Not you being able to finish the house project. Not your kid obeying. Like, I know that stuff's awesome, but it's really not the goal. Boldness carries us to the goal, where we're probably going to see the impact of our boldness we never even knew that we had, because someone met Jesus as a result of our boldness, and we won't even know till there. And someone's going to come up to us and say, if you hadn't done what you did, I wouldn't be here. That's the goal. That's the goal. With every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, you guys know if you're a regular part of our church, this is a normal thing that we do. I just believe that perhaps there are people in this room, perhaps there are people watching online, that your bold step today is to begin a relationship with Jesus. It's very bold because you don't really know what's on the other side of that step. But I want to help you start, because I promise you something. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. Jesus will take you where you never thought possible. He will sustain you under pressure you never thought you could sustain. He will carry you to places you never thought you could go. Why? Because he has a plan for you and a purpose for your life. And so that's you. And today, your bold step, whether you're in this building and you're sitting in one of these chairs, or you're online at some other location, today's the day your bold step of faith is to begin a relationship with Jesus. I want to help you to do that. And here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to ask you to stand to your feet and walk to the front or any of those things. In fact, I'm going to invite you just to make a decision right where you are, right now. Just make a decision. God, this is me committing to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that if we believe in our heart and then we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. Like, it is that simple. And so what I know is going on is the heart thing is happening, and you believe. Like, yes, I do believe, and I need to take that step. All I want to help you do is make that confession and proclaim it with your mouth. So I'm just going to give you a very simple prayer. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me, and this is it. This will be your step, and you will have taken a very bold step today to begin a relationship with Jesus. Church, you know how we do it. I always ask everybody in the room to repeat this prayer after me. That way those who are saying it for the first time can say it in total confidence. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life. All of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. Make me bold. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Let's give God some praise for those that made that decision. Congratulations. Congratulations. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. Church, I love you guys. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of church online.